You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
I've always said to myself, oh, I'd love to write a cookbook. But I said it in a way like, you know, people would say, oh, I'd love to be an astronaut. Like, you know, fine, well, it's never going to happen. Do you know what I mean? But then when people were asking me if I had one, I was like, oh, maybe I could.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm on my own this week. And ironically, considering how much she moans about the weather, my usual co-host, Wendy, is currently sunning herself on a beach. But I'm not jealous because spring is definitely on its way. And today where I am, it's blue skies. And the evenings are getting a bit lighter, which frankly makes me happy. But enough of the weather chat. Today, I am thrilled to have Rebecca Wilson as our guest. She's a Sunday Times best-selling author of an array of recipe books, all aimed at feeding your family the budget-savvy way. Rebecca's latest book, Budget Family Food, is packed with tips and help on saving money with low-cost family meals. Rebecca, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for the lovely introduction.
How are you doing today? Is it sunny where you are?
It is a nice sunny spring day. Are we in spring now? Has it started?
Well, I've got 5-year-old twins and they're obsessed with the seasons and they were asking me, when does spring start? So I had to Google it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the other day. I can't really remember. I think it's about the 20th of March or thereabouts.
We're not there yet. Okay.
So we're not there yet, almost. But I feel like it's starting to creep through, isn't it?
On Sunday, my 6-year-old was begging me to get the swimming pool out in the garden because she saw a tiny bit of sun and was like, come on, let's get the swimming pool out. And, you know,
you're like, whoa, there.
Tantrums and the paddy that came after the word no was just like, you know, trying to console a child who wants to get in the swim costume in this freezing cold weather. I think it'd been snowing the day before, but even though there was a bit of sun, you know, that just means swimming pool and fun and all summertime fun, you know.
It's teaching them, isn't it, that sunny, looking out the window and seeing sun does not equal heat.
Yes.
That's a tough lesson to learn when you're 5 or 6, isn't it?
It is. You know, these tough lessons of life are really tricky for when you're that little.
It is. So you're up north, aren't you? Are you kind of Northumberland, Carlisle way? Where are you?
Cumbria, up in Cumbria. So I'm almost Cumbria. In Scotland, to be honest. Yeah, right at the top of Cumbria.
So, near my homeland. It's beautiful up there though, isn't it?
It is lovely.
So then, as a mum of a 6-year-old, how would you describe mum life for you?
Oh, goodness me. Chaotic. stressful, but, you know, amazing. I love my daughter so much. And every year is different, but, you know, every day is different. In all honesty, and I just adore watching her grow and watching her learn and watching her become this little girl and eventually woman that she's growing into, because she's got this really strong personality and she really is a real character. Everybody that meets her says so, and I love watching it and witnessing it. But day to day, yep. It's a challenge, but, you know, we roll with it. Yeah.
We do. Does she take an interest in food and cooking and all of that stuff?
She does. She really likes to help me in the kitchen. She really does enjoy that. And she loves food. I mean, she is like every young child that has her preferences and her dislikes. But as a whole, I think she's really good at... I try to instill from a very early age to get her to just try food. So even if she doesn't like everything, she is really willing to give it a go. And she will tell me definitely she does not like it. But she, you know, all I can ask from her is that she does try it. And that's fantastic for me.
Yeah. So she was a baby, wasn't she, when you started thinking about helping other parents with weaning and feeding little ones?
Yeah.
But what happened next? Did you start putting recipes and food ideas on social media?
Well, actually, all came about because of my daughter, Nina. So I didn't really go into this thinking I'm going to help other people. I really wanted a creative outlet for my own personal sanity as a new mum, really. I wasn't going back to work right away. And, you know, I was making food for Nina. She began her weaning journey. And I knew from the beginning that I wanted to wean her in a way that I created food that we would eat together as a family. So I just started, I did a massive amount of research into the baby-led weaning and foods that she kind of can't eat and how I should be cooking foods for us as a family. And then I just started making my own recipes, not in a sort of professional sense, more for myself, really. I've always been very much interested in food and grew up in a very foodie household when I was a child as well. So then I started just sharing what I was creative cooking for Nina and cooking for us on a very small Instagram page, and very, you know, not professionally shot photographs. It was just, you know, I don't even know why I was doing it. Do you know what I mean? It was just one of those things. I'm just gonna post. It doesn't really matter what happens of it. Not thinking anything would actually happen from it. But amazingly, and I'm so grateful and flabbergasted, if I'm honest, even these years on down the line, that people started liking what I was cooking and started following along. And from then, people kept on asking me for more types of recipes, so it gave me a real boost of confidence and inspiration to just keep on going with it. And then fast forward, I'd say a year and a half later, I was getting so many requests for a cookbook. People were asking if I had my recipes in a book, it would be easier for them to make my recipes if I had one. And I've always loved cookbooks. I mean, I was a teen asking for cookbooks for Christmas and my birthday, which sounds
really,
a bit, really, yeah, it sounds a bit strange.
What kind of cookbooks were you asking for back then?
Nigella and Jamie Oliver's, River Cottage, and all the Bake Off books as well. I love them. Anyway, I've always loved cookbooks. I've always loved cooking. So, and I've always said to myself, oh, I'd love to write a cookbook. But I said it in a way like, you know, people would say, oh, I'd love to be an astronaut. Like, you know, fine, well, it's never going to happen. Do you know what I mean? But then when people were asking me if I had one, I was like, oh, maybe I could. Maybe that's not so much of like a ridiculous pipe dream. Like, maybe that might happen one day. So I tried to make it happen. And I think I spent about just under a year trying to figure out how you even go about writing a book or getting a book published, because it was all just like a massive baffle to me. But here we are now, and I've just released my fifth cookbook.
So
something that went right down the line, and I'm so amazed but very, very grateful for this journey that I've been on.
It's so impressive, and also just really impressive to hear that you made it happen. It's not like you were posting on Instagram and somebody who works in publishing saw your page and was like, hey, Rebecca, do you want to write a book? Like, you, and that would have been impressive too, but you made it happen.
You actually worked
out how to make it happen, and you did it.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So I spent a good 3 months emailing different editors from different publishing houses asking if they would like to publish my book. And I didn't know at the time that normally editors don't really talk to authors straight directly. They talk with an agent.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as a literary agent, a book agent. So then when one editor very kindly informed me of the process, I then tried to figure out how to get an agent. And there's this book, and I forget the name of it now, but there's a book that you can
get.
The
Writer and Artist's Handbook or something,
isn't it? Literary Agent's Handbook directory. And you can get it from the library, and it's basically got every agent listed in there. I went through and I got a load of agents that I liked the look of, and I sent them all my proposal, and then found my agent, Daryl at Art Ellis, who I, you know, we're very good friends now all these years later, but he really believed in me from the beginning. He signed me, and then we put together the pitch, and we pitched out to different publishers. And really, ironically, people that were turning me away or didn't even answer me originally were then offering me a book deal, you know. And it went into a bit of a bidding war initially, because there was, you know, there was a good number of publishers that wanted to publish my first book. But and I think back at that now, because it's a bit crazy, like, you know, I was even getting responses, but then as soon as you get an agent, they do. So yeah. I just had no idea how the process worked, really.
It's so impressive.
And it took a long time to figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, no, I bet. And you've got a massive following. You've got, is it over 500,000 followers you've got on Instagram?
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people have engaged with you and connected with you on social media?
Do you know, I ask this question to myself quite a lot because I've got no idea. I was always very shy at school. I was very sort of reserved. And I am quite a reserved person. So I, you know, I was never the popular kid. So it's a bit crazy to me. But I think I've tried to pinpoint it down to the fact that I am just another mum. I'm just a normal parent. You know, I really love to cook and I feel like I have a natural flair for it. And, you know, people like my recipes. But I think people can see that the food that I cook and the way I cook and the life that I lead, there's nothing pretentious about me. I'm just me, you know, and I think people can relate to that and they can see that, you know, I have the same parenting struggles that the other mothers and fathers and caregivers have as well. So I can relate to that and they can trust in me that I'm just creating food for the average family. And I think people like that. I hope people like that anyway.
They clearly do. So your new book focuses on budget, mm-hmm. and it's a massive concern for so many parents, isn't it? You know, the cost of food has mm-hmm. rocketed, and the pressure it puts on us as parents is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. This book felt like it was the right time for it now. After the last few years, I mean, actually probably more than a few years now, isn't it? The climate that we're in, every time you go to the supermarket, your food shop costs more money. And it's stressful. It is really stressful. And I think feeding your family already is a stressful thing. We don't need adding the pressure of the cost to it as well. And especially if your children struggle to learn to love their food, you feel like you're wasting a lot of food and that you feel like you're putting money down the drain. And that's another added pressure as well. So yeah, I wanted to write this book, Budget Family Food, simply to just add to the presence that I'm trying to help people feed their family in a stress-free manner, and I hope that this book really does help with that. So I haven't put together like a set number of like, or as in cost of how much the recipes are going to cost, because I really wanted to do that actually, but the market is fluctuating so much. It was too difficult to do it. So what I've really done is just focused on using low cost ingredients that are readily accessible and nice and cheap, essentially as cheap as the climate will allow them to be. And each, what's different about this book is that each recipe is laid out. The ingredients are laid out in a way where there's a from your pantry section, which the vast majority of the ingredients for each recipe are listed under here. So ingredients that you would generally have anyway already in your cupboards. And then there might be for a couple of recipes, some recipes, you know, all the ingredients are from the pantry section, but there might be some recipes that have, you know, meat in there or like a different type of ingredient that is something that you would get in specifically for that recipe. So it means that people can look through their cupboards and cook from what they already have in, and they don't feel like they're spending more money than they need to.
That's so important, isn't it? I know that when I'm cooking, if I look at a recipe and I see that the majority is stuff I've already got in, I'm like, oh, win. Yeah. We just need to buy the chicken or the mince or the cheese or whatever it is.
That's it.
What would you say are like the kind of go-to cupboard and fridge items that you always have in stock then to help you whip up a quick low-cost dinner?
Wow. I mean, there's quite a few on the list. I've got a little section at the start of the book that has them all listed, so that if you ever feel like you need to just do a big shop and you're not sure what to get in, I've got them all on there. But you know, I've kind of separated it down between the fridge and the freezer. So if you were and the store cupboard and then the spices and cooking. So if you're looking at the fridge items, it would be the milk and the butter, frozen fruit, frozen veg, things that you're not going to use the whole lot right away. You would just generally have them in as standard. Then you've got your spices, garlic granules, smoked paprika, ground cinnamon. It's all things that you're not going to use up all right away, and you have leftovers in your cupboards, don't you? Flour and and oats and baking powder and honey and eggs, for example. Think just your standard everyday.
The basics,
that's yeah. it. Yeah.
And you mentioned food waste, which just it does feel like a really big issue for parents. Like, kids are refusing to eat meals. And also sometimes if I'm making a recipe, I'll end up with half a jar of something or half a packet of something left over. And then there's the pressure to use that up. And to be honest, I don't always do it. And then it ends up just going off and it goes in the bin or goes in the recycling. It's frustrating. Do you have any tips for reducing food waste when it comes to cooking family meals?
Yeah, I definitely do. There is actually a section in the book for a big page full of tips for reducing waste. And I've also got how to repurpose your leftovers. And I've also got some meal plans in there that use up some of the leftovers for the next day, so that you aren't throwing stuff away, basically throwing your leftovers away. But in general, say you had a jar of passata that you were going to use and the recipe only called for half of it. But I'll caveat that by saying I really have tried not to do that within the book, so that there isn't any wastage like that, because that is a very frustrating thing. Yeah. But say you did, you're using a different type of recipe. I would freeze the rest of that passata. I could either add some stock cube and some spices in there and then bung that into the freezer. And then you've got a ready-made pasta sauce that you could just put in the pan to defrost and heat up with a little splash of extra water. I think using your freezer is such a helpful thing when you are trying to reduce food waste. You could do things like you've got an abundance of apples left for whatever reason. You got them on cheap and you've got those left. You can slice them thin and dehydrate them. Then you got some nice low sugar, healthy snacks for the kiddies. It's just trying to think of ways to repurpose that food in a minimum low effort type of way, so that you're making your life a bit easier in the future, but also, trying not to throw away money, essentially, isn't it? That's what you're doing when you throw food away. Yeah, throwing away money.
Yeah. So what's been your most popular budget recipe then that you've shared online? Is there anything that's just gone crazy because people are sharing it?
Oh, well, I shared my nostalgic tomato pasta sauce. It's actually similar one to what we've just spoke about. And that one has been very, very popular. And it's just a very simple tomato pasta sauce, but it uses store-cut ingredients and it's just cheap and cheerful and really delicious. And, it's great. It's great for when you're in a rush as well. So that one's been very, very, very well received.
Being in a rush, time is such a big factor, isn't it, in prepping meals. Do you ever recommend things like batch cooking or dump bags or any little techniques just to try and save time?
Yeah. Again, at the start of this book, there's a section on batch cooking as well. And actually, I'll caveat that by saying there's lots of extra information at the start of this book. I've tried to make it as helpful as possible. So if you do have any questions at all, kind of just go straight there as a reader. I mean, we just try and help plan your kitchen or cooking regime to make your life a bit easier. But batch cooking is definitely a fantastic one. But personally, for me, the way I like to batch cook is, if I'm making dinner, I'll just make a little bit extra and then freeze the leftovers. I know a lot of people really enjoy or feel prepared mentally to have a batch cooking session, and that's fantastic. All praise to you guys, because that's dedication to the batch cooking life. But I generally just try to cook a little bit extra, have some leftovers, and those leftovers will either go into the freezer or I'll have them the next day, making life a bit easier. It takes the stress out of cooking for your family, isn't it? If you know that even if you haven't been to the shops or money's a bit tight and you're not really sure what you're going to cook for the kids, if you've got a little bit of leftovers in the freezer, there's going to be something that's going to go on the table for dinner. Yeah.
That's really sensible. Now, so many of us, myself included, struggle to organise our day so that, if we've got conflicting work schedules, school, the kids' clubs, and it's really hard to get everyone together to eat as a family every night. What advice do you have about that? Because we hear so often that it's a really important thing for kids to do.
Yeah. it is really important for children to eat together with their parents, if not with their siblings, if they do have any. For the main reason of that is if they're struggling to enjoy their food, to witness the people that they love enjoying that same food, it can be a real encouragement to them. As well as if you're cooking for a whole family, you're more likely to cook a wider variety of foods because you're catering for more people. And in turn with that, it's really helping little ones to enjoy their food more because they're being introduced to a wider variety of meals and ingredients. But I completely appreciate that it can be really tricky on a day to day, especially if everybody has different schedules. Even if you just have one child and, you know, dad works late or your mum works late yourself and you feel like you're just too rushed for it. My biggest piece of advice there is if you feel like it's too much and you can't eat together as a family, I would encourage you to just eat a little snack of whatever you're feeding your little one. Just have the tiniest little bowl yourself, you know, just be a couple of mouthfuls if you don't want to eat too much too early on. But if you just sit down with them and give them the time and they can see you actually just having a few mouthfuls yourself, it's going to do so much more benefits than if you don't at all. And it's not only the action of them seeing you eating, it's actually that quality time of sitting down together while your little one is eating and having a conversation. Yeah. Even if they're too young to conversate with you, they're still engaging with you while they're eating and they can see your facial expressions and your positive encouragement on your face without even saying the words of enjoy your food, because, you know, we don't want to add too much pressure. If they can see that you're happy and the mealtime is a positive one from your facial expressions, from the environment, that it's a happy one, they're going to associate mealtimes in a positive light rather than a negative one. And in turn, that encourages them to enjoy their food more in the long run, definitely.
Yeah. And how important is it that everyone's eating the same thing? So I know in the past, I've fallen into that trap of making my little ones something different to perhaps myself, my husband, and our eldest, who's like 8 years older than her sisters. Is it a better idea just to cook everyone the same thing and cross your fingers that they actually eat it?
Well, it kind of really depends on your own family and what you feel is going to work best for you and what's going to make the kiddies eat and what's going to be really stressful for yourself as well, because that's a really important thing to factor in. But I do believe that even if your child doesn't want to eat the food that's placed in front of them, the encouragement of regular introduction of foods that they're not too sure of in turn and over time will help them reduce this barrier that they have. You know, if you're constantly introduced to new flavors and foods that you're not sure of, then over time, in a positive light, not in a forceful light, in a gentle encouragement and offering foods, unsure foods along with safe foods at the same time, so they don't feel overwhelmed. But over time, that will really help them to feel, the little one to feel less stressed by being presented by foods they don't like. And then in turn, cooking the same meal for the whole family will be much easier. So it's kind of, you know, it's six and two threes, isn't it? It's however you want to approach it. It's giving little ones the independence and confidence to request the food that they want to enjoy, and giving them that, the independence of around their own eating is really important, but also merging that into, you know, this is what we are eating together as a family and this is the food that's available, and we can't afford to have too many options. This is what's on offer tonight. You are welcome to enjoy it with us. And kind of encouraging that sort of the flip side of it. Yeah. It can be really tricky, and I go into this answer in a very sort of, try to be quite diplomatic, because I can really understand the pressures that families do have when you have three children, for example, and they all have very different eating preferences. what do you do? What do you do? So I think you've really got to just decide on what's most important for your own family and for the caregiver cooking the meals, what's most important to you, and pick your battles where you feel necessary. But, you know, by not giving too much choice sometimes can be really positive in the long run, but only for certain children, you know? I think it's a hard one to say, clear cut, you definitely have to go down this road, because, you know, every child is different and every family is different.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned that your daughter likes helping you in the kitchen. Do you have any tips for jobs? Like, what are the kind of jobs in the kitchen that are good, almost like starter jobs for little ones to get involved with? So like my 5-year-olds love, you know, like spreading butter on the toast themselves, and they gouge the knife into the butter and I have to just turn a blind eye and just be like, it's fine. It's all part of their development. So what are the things that we can be getting our kids to help us with that are safe and not doesn't create too much of a mess?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this answer depends on the age of your child, essentially, and also your own sanity levels, because I can completely relate to that stress. I'm a little bit of a control freak in the kitchen, and at times I have to really bite my tongue. You know, she's only 3 years old, let her do it, it's fine. It is beneficial for them to just be given free rein almost, and a bit of independence to do as they want and try and figure out how to do things in a safe manner, of course, not doing anything that's too dangerous. But, you know, if they're gouging, putting the knife into the butter and putting the crumbs back into the butter pot, does it really matter in the long run? Or is the skills of them learning how to hold the knife properly, spread the butter on the toast properly, all those things that they're learning from that, and the communication from listening to your instructions and applying that into the tasks that they're doing, there's so many benefits to that. But if you are really stressed by the crumbs and the butter and it's going to make you go crazy, maybe pick a different task. You know? So I think it's all down to whatever you feel comfortable with, and I think I urge parents to just try and relax and let your little ones have the independence within the kitchen as much as possible. And it really depends on what the task is. You know, if we're baking together, we're making muffins, for example, I'll get Nina to measure things into the bowl. I'll be holding the flour packet at the bottom, but she's holding most of it, and I'm controlling whether she's about to dump the whole lot in there, you know. And she's staring away, and I'm like holding the bowl, and just can't, it's all about just keeping a close eye on them, isn't it? And making sure that nothing too crazy is going to happen. But I can't think of many recipes of mine apart from when you're actually at the stove cooking with a hot hob or hot pans. Any of the preparation, generally, little ones can get involved. You've got to be mindful of the sharp knives and things like that. There are lots of kiddie knives that you can buy. But, you know, there's pretty much every task a little one can get involved with in a safe way. It's really just about if you've got the time to stretch out the recipe a little bit longer, because it's not going to, you know, if a recipe takes 10 minutes, if you're cooking with a little one, even my 6-year-old, it's not going to be ready in 10 minutes at all.
Yeah. It's like triple it, quadruple it. Exactly. We'll be here an hour.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. So, you know, so I think that question all just comes down to our own sanity and what we can handle.
I love it. So what's next for you then, Rebecca? Do you have any more books in the pipeline?
Oh, do you know what? I would love to. I can't say too much. I also don't want to jinx my future, because I feel like I'm constantly counting my lucky chickens. You know, how long is this amazing roller coaster going to last for? So we'll see. We'll see what comes in the future. But right now, I really want to focus on budget family food and try and get the word out there and how amazing I think the book is. I think it's my best one yet. And I just want everybody to read it and cook from it. And that would be that's my goal for the future right now, is focusing on this and focusing on helping as many parents as possible to feed their family stress-free and on a budget.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for coming in to join us today here at NetMums, Rebecca. It's been so good to talk to you.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed our little chat. Thank you so much for having me.